double again. I want to see a triple doink.
It might happen.
Doink.
Double doink.
Double doink.
Double doink.
Triple doink. Quadruple doink.
Doink.
A double doink right there.
Doink. Doink. A double doink.
Double doinker.
Dicker the kicker. Triple doink sit in. Doink, 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 doink.
Double doinks and sackles.
Teaching you how to football.
You taught Carolina last week.
We sure did, bud.
Yeah, sure did.
My name is Fernando.
I'm Travis.
I'm Chris.
I'm Jimmy G, the benched boy.
The benched boy.
Seems fitting this week, actually.
Nice.
Yep.
I mean, do we want to dive into that or dive into the last week real fast?
Let's dive into last week real fast. Week number eight had some crazy upsets going on. One of the games that wasn't an upset, let's start off with the Vikings-Packers game and the sad news that came out of Minnesota with Kirk Cousins out for the year. First time he has missed a game for an injury. He missed one game because of COVID a few years ago, but in his career. But yeah, Vikings offense was looking good against the Packers. Packers just looked terrible all around. I really enjoy saying that and that being true. But yeah, it sucks with Cousins done for the year.
You know, I've never been the biggest of Kirk Cousins fans.
Most people aren't.
To be honest with you. I think he's been a very adequate quarterback for you guys, everything like that. He's worked well in that system. I'm really sad if that's the last snap that he's going to take as a Viking.
It might be.
It's a real bummer to me. But to not call it an upset, they were a half-point underdogs in that game. So.
I thought it was even.
No, it's half-point underdogs.
It was even when we picked.
At game time, half-point. So considered an upset.
All right.
There you go, bud.
Big upset in Green Bay for the Vikings.
Yeah. I mean, Jordan Love did it up. He hasn't been the same since, like, his, what, second, third, like...
First game, the one against the Bears, week one. Like, that was his only good game.
I think he had two games where he threw for, like, three touchdowns.
He had, like, two, three good games.
Yeah,
From there,
he's just been on a slide. So, yeah, the Vikings showed up. Hall came in and just basically... hand the ball for the win.
He completed three balls. He was 3 of 4.
Okay. Three or four.
Picked up a big first down when we tried to kill the clock.
Everything, and then he had that non-contact injury where he tore his Achilles, and then he was out. So sad to see, but I'm with Travis on this. If that's his last play with the Vikings, it's going to be very sad.
Without you, my friend.
I'm still reeling how no one helped him off the field.
Oh, yeah. Maybe he didn't want help.
No one helped him off the field.
He didn't help. He could do it by himself.
That was a lot of BS by that point. I don't understand how your starting quarterback has to walk off the field. Aaron Rodgers just sat there, pointed his ankle, and got a cart brought out to him.
Aaron Rodgers is a big...
As a true Vikings fan this past Sunday, I'm going to say that was very disrespectful. It was very disrespectful, man.
That dude had a hop off the field on his own. The defense came on the field, and he hopped past all of them. No one helped him off the field. No one even looked in his direction.
He didn't ask for help.
He didn't want help. He didn't need help.
Listen, he got to
Maybe
the
he did, but
oh, he needed it.
Listen, as someone who's like ruptured their Achilles at one point or another in their lives, you need help when you're walking. I'm going to tell you that right now. It was just BS that the team wasn't around him on that point, and now you're left with
Hall.
Jaren Hall.
BYU rookie. And let's not just jump into it too fast, but Donnie Dimes is a free Viking.
He's a free house elf. Going to be going off for the Vikings.
Just to talk on the defensive side, the Vikings defense has looked amazing the last three, during this three-game winning streak.
Sure, but let's talk about the fact that you have Dobby Dimes as your quarterback.
You have Dobby Dimes now.
He's there for moral support.
You guys didn't trade Daniel Hunter. You guys didn't trade him. Everyone thought you guys were going to trade him for something by that point. And based off the market, it's probably best you didn't because Chase Young... and Sweat went for like third round picks.
I think second round is what they were talking with Danielle Hunter, and he's leading the league in sacks this year. So I mean,
as a Jaguars fan, I would have given up a second round pick all day for Danielle Hunter by that point.
Or either Sweat or Young. That's surprising. I'm sure we're gonna get into that later, but that is so surprising to me.
I mean, I'm just going down the list from last week's games. Will Levis, first NFL start, 4 touchdowns, no turnovers.
Your hot take of the week.
My hot take of the week was a fairly accurate one.
Your hot take was he wouldn't shit the bed, but he actually did well.
I said I said the Titans would win and he wouldn't turn it over. He just went above expectations with those four touchdowns. DeAndre Hopkins finally showing up on the field with four catches, and I believe three of them were for touchdowns.
You know, how much skill do you think that required his catches?
That's what I was going to say. I was looking at like the Raiders game, like when that happened, and Jimmy G missed Devontae Adams like wide open by that point. Will Levis made those throws.
Yeah.
Like, it was the same throw. Like, he just had a wide receiver wide open. Like he beat the secondary, missed coverage, everything like that, and he just kind of threw it up there, and like DeAndre Hopkins came back for it. Devontae Adams tried to, but Jimmy G missed him so bad he threw it out of bounds, like I think both times he missed him. That's, I mean, kind of putting it in perspective for you, Rufus.
Yeah, you got a quick Bijan, show up finally. Like, he showed up. I think he had, like, a touchdown, 70 yards, something like that. I'm still worried about Henry. I don't know what's going on with this guy. Like, you know, he had some yards this game. I think he had over 100 yards, but I have not seen, like, a Derrick Henry game so far this season.
The old dog. Listen, I throw my back. I sneezed coming out of the shower the other day, like trying to towel myself out, and I threw out my back doing that. So yeah, I mean, I can't imagine what it's like.
And you and Derrick Henry had the same work regimen.
I'm just saying. So I can't
totally understand.
I mean, I can't imagine Derrick Henry at this age by this point putting the amount of workload that he's putting up, though, is what I'm saying. Yeah. Though, is I just can't imagine that he's going to. And Tajay Spears is like right there in the backfield, man. Like, I mean, like. He's right there. He's taking carries. They're almost like 50-50 right now at snap count. And he's clearly the younger, better runner in that more offense spry, because he can actually catch passes out of the backfield. Can he throw passes like Derrick Henry?
I don't know if I would say he's a better runner out of that backfield. I'm still looking for a Henry game. I think it's coming. We're definitely going to see him show up with at least like two TDs with at least 150 yards plus. It's going to come. I'm just waiting on it.
Dollar Bet says it doesn't happen.
I agree.
This year.
I'll take that for this year.
So two touchdowns and 150 plus.
150 plus, okay. Two TDs. Dollar Bet. It's going to happen at least once this year.
Should we jump into that Jaguars Steelers game?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
I didn't watch a lot of that one, but I think you did.
Oh, Travis, right? I guess I perused.
Did you check that one out?
There was a lot of shit talk coming from Travis's mouth during this game.
Oh, so much.
Only to back up the shit talk that
George Pickens.
Yeah, Pickens was throwing the Jacksonville way. So fair enough. Fair enough for Travis throwing this out there, but he was angry at this TV.
No, listen. All day. So George Pickens started the week off by saying the Jaguars were a hope defense. It's the defense they needed to follow. They had the 31. We did. We have like the 31 like ranked pass defense like by yards in the league. We also have the best like turnover rate in the entire league. We lead the entire league in turnovers right now. George Pickens talked a lot of trash leading up to this game. He had a really great touchdown towards the fourth quarter when they were down by two scores by that point, which is fine. That's why you have the leading pass defense, the lowest rated pass defense in the league, because when you're up by two scores, turns out you just kind of fall back and like give the pass yards out.
Prevent defense.
No, listen, the biggest thing that I saw was coming after the game when Deontay Johnson actually was like, well, the refs wanted them to win, is very clear, blah, blah, blah. Steelers fans bitching about the fact about refs calling calls against them is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
That is fair enough.
Packers fans, Steelers fans, Patriots fans, welcome to the NFL by this point.
I think the Steelers are back.
Look at the Chiefs, okay? Look at what they're getting. You guys used to get all that stuff. The fact that, listen, Trevor Lawrence got, TJ Watt actually hit him in the eye. He looked for like a rough in the passer call, didn't get it. His eye swelled up towards the end of the game with a big old bruise right underneath it. We're not going to call that. Turns out at the end of the day, listen, Packers fans, you had the same amount of penalties that the Jaguars did, and they had more yards against them for penalty-wise.
You meant Steelers fans, right?
Steelers fans. Yeah, that's right.
Packers, Steelers,
it's okay. They're both yelling. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter, right? Yeah. You lost. You had three turnovers against zero turnovers early on. You still lost by 10 points The Jaguars are for real on a 5-game winning streak right now.
I mean, ETN showed up. 24 carries, like 80 yards. You know, he was putting in the work. So Ingram had like a pretty good day. So, I mean, Trevor Lawrence was out there throwing some really good passes, which is like he's been getting progressively better year to year,
he had,
without a doubt.
He had one. I can show you guys the video later on it. He had one of the best passes I've ever seen in the cover two, and he just floated in there off his back foot. And it was where no one could catch it except for Ridley. And it was an amazing pass. Like, the guy's getting better and better as we go on. Jaguars win. Fuck the Steelers.
Well said. What do we got? Eagles Commies. This was a high scoring game. I think the Commies were up 17-0 at one point.
They were.
And
really?
They let the Eagles come back, and the Eagles' best record in the NFL right now at 7-1. Only one lost team in the league.
It was not 17-0.
Okay.
No,
it was 17-7.
It was 14-3 at one point.
Okay.
And a field goal. Yeah.
But I like what I'm seeing from Sam Howell right now. I mean, he's a gunslinger. I mean, there's not a lot of, you know, pressure behind him right now. You know, he's, a third-round pick, second-round pick from last year. There's not a lot of pressure behind the guy right now. You got Riverboat Ron going out there. It was a divisional game. I'm happy to watch the Commies kind of just battle in this game, man.
Yeah, but also, I don't think it's going to matter going forward because they were depending very heavily on their defense. They're depending, like, so heavily on their defense right now, and then they gave up, like, two chunks of their defense right now. So I don't know exactly what they're going to do going forward because Sam Howell might be able to make it happen, but it was their defense keeping them in the game, all right? So, like, they're not going to have that going forward, and I don't see Sam Howell throwing for another four TDs in a game anytime soon. So it's going to be interesting to see what goes on, like, down the road with the Commies.
I don't know, man. I think there's kind of an aspect of it that you could look at. If you have like a Washington offensive skill player right now, it might not be a terrible position to pick up because they're going to be playing from behind a lot, I think.
A lot.
So, like, I think it benefits them. And I think with this kind of gunslinger mentality right now, I mean, Chase Young really hasn't even played for the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Sweat has had a decent season so. Yeah. I don't know how much they're missing.
I kind of agree with Travis on that. Like, and Chase Young, like, maybe he can, if he can stay healthy a full year and see what he can do, like, great. But he doesn't play enough. It's like, you have this star guy. So, like, getting a second rounder for him, I think it was smart for him.
It's terrible. Third for Chase Young.
Also, I feel like you take some of the biggest names away from your defense, it's going to hurt your defense, regardless of whether or not they're showing up or showing out.
Hey, next man up.
Like, but Chase Young is also up for a contract this year. Like, because they did not extend him by this point.
Which is fair enough. I'm not talking about their contract. I'm talking about what it's going to do to the players. You see two guys leave who are, like, two of your, like, biggest name players, regardless of whether or not they've been healthy or staying in or anything like that. But if you get rid of them, like, with a defense that's been showing up and, like, just trying to hang on, like, as soon as they go, like, it's going to hurt your defense. It's going to hurt them.
Maybe it won't, because I think the next guy mentality actually does stick in there. I think one of the biggest things was Chase Young and Sweat had both displayed their displeasure with the team right there.
Yeah.
The fact that you can unload him for a second-round pick when you knew he wasn't going to re-sign, because they didn't extend him by that point, when you knew he wasn't going to re-sign, I think that a one-year loan for a second-round pick by this point, this is kind of looking like the Christian McCaffrey thing, except for they got Christian McCaffrey for a lot longer. They have Chase Young for 1 year. And, like, there's a lot more wrong right now with the San Francisco 49ers than the defense. Yes or no?
They just keep piling on the defense, role players, free defense, seeing that fixes anything.
Which, don't get me wrong, that defense is going to look really nasty with Chase Young over there and Bosa on the outside.
But they have their own issues right now.
Also, you have to re-sign him.
Yeah.
And this is going to be very hard to
re-sign. If he walks, it doesn't actually cost him, because if he walks, the Niners get a compensatory pick for that.
Second round pick, I'm not saying nothing. I'm not saying it wasn't a bad choice to get rid of him for a second round pick. I like that idea. Yeah. I think it was great. I just think that is going to hurt Washington's defense. I think
the morale is
going to bring it down, and I just don't know if they're going to show up the way they've been showing up. So we'll have to see.
We'll have to wait and see. Let's go to your boys last week. Every team in the NFL has a win, at least one win in the win column. The Panthers getting their first win of the year.
Mercury's out there. Popping champagne. There it is.
I don't even know why we're clapping for a 1-6 team, but I appreciate it. Thank you. I did say Bryce Young would throw for 300 yards. He was close. Not quite there. I think he got around like it was 230, 240, something like that with a TD.
So not really close.
But he had one of the longest passes of the year.
It was over 20 yards?
Pass of the year. It was for 40 yards.
Wow.
It was a Mingo, another rookie. So he was able to throw for a pass for 40 yards, which was surprising. So he was close. I think he had like 140 yards here. I think the other game against Detroit, he threw for like 247. So it was right in there as one of his longest passing yards of the season. So Panthers get the win. And, you know, it was a battle of the rookies, right? He was going up against C.J. Stroud. He showed him that he was the number one overall. He wasn't. But he showed up for that game and at least proved that the Panthers made a decent decision picking him up.
And hey, drove him into field goal range to get that game winner at the end. You know, that's...
They also missed that roughing, the roughing call on Bryce Young when he slid. And was clearly down, clearly gave himself up. And hit him like helmet to helmet at that point. Yeah. They just let that one go. And you know what? To come back from that and still drive him down there, props to Bryce Young, man.
Big time. Jets and Giants, 24 punts in this game.
24 punts.
All right, let's move on to the next one. What else we got? Chiefs Broncos. What the hell happened there?
Hold on. Let me go back to Jets and Giants for a fact.
Oh, we're going back to Jets and Giants.
Hold on.
We already talked about the best one.
You didn't flex the Jets and Raiders out of Week 10 by this point. You had a deadline, and you kept the team that combined for 24 points into Week 10. That's all I have to say about it. Okay.
All right.
Go for it, NFL.
So Broncos, let's ride.
Let's ride.
Keeping the Chiefs out of the end zone. Taylor Swift wasn't there, so maybe she's the new good luck charm.
I mean, that's such a dumb step. But it's not unreal.
I did like them playing a lot of Taylor Swift songs.
The Broncos did play Taylor Swift songs.
Yeah, they played a whole bunch of those songs.
My biggest takeaway from this was it's not so much the Broncos by this point. It's kind of the Chiefs, and we've been talking about this for the past few weeks. Yeah. The Broncos were able to get there. Turns out Patrick Mahomes isn't Tom Brady, and when he doesn't have any receivers outside of Travis Kelce, he has a hard time doing it. Pacheco struggled this game. The receivers struggled this game, and the pass defense struggled this game as well. I just think that the Broncos were able to shut Patrick Mahomes down. How many plays did you watch Patrick Mahomes like do Mahomes magic where he scrambled out, turned around, went back and was ready to
go, like every
looking
play.
For it. And every single time he ran into either his own offensive lineman or a Denver Bronco.
He was also recovering from illness too in this game too.
Yeah, so there's excuses.
Yeah, that's also excuses. Yeah. But he, like, the pass to Sky Moore, there was just...
You know how many excuses Tua has? This many. You can't see. It's not a video.
It's not. It's a video. I think this is one of the games where you get to see the true Mahomes, right? He doesn't have all the weapons he needs to make himself look really well. So he was able to get the ball out a few times, you know. But again, he struggled when, like, no one was open because he didn't have the weapons. Like, two interceptions against, like, Denver's defense, which is not great, by the way. They're not horrible, but they're not great. So, like... I can't believe Denver won this game, but we definitely got to see the true Patrick Mahomes when he doesn't have the weapons that he needs to make it happen.
I was even shocking when he does roll out, because that's when he extends it, the magic, like you said, like twirling around, getting out of the pocket, keeping his eyes downfield. Those are you're used to seeing Mahomes complete those passes, like chucking it down.
Usually with a misholding call. Yeah.
More than likely.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was not happening in that game at all. Like He kept holding it, and then, like, eventually he threw a couple of them away, or, like you said, ran into his own player or a Denver player. And, yeah, like, Chiefs, they did not look good.
And shout out to Teddy for dropping Judy right before the game. With
the 50 yards. I didn't know we were going to share that. Okay.
the one thing I want to touch on real fast is I know there's been, like, kind of this conversation the past few weeks between, like, Jaleel McLaughlin and Javonte Williams. Javonte Williams is the dude there, man. It's not even a question by this point. I don't know why people keep questioning him. But he is the dude down there. So if you have him on your team, props to you.
We're moving on to, those Niners. Three in a row.
We get on to that game now.
Bengals showed up. Our buddy Timmy got some screen time on the football game. Got a nice salute.
Saluted them.
Mixed salute.
Two fans in the front row.
And they were both, they were our buddies. They were both Bengal fans. 31-17. Jimmy G, the bench boy, what's going on with your boys? Like three in a row.
First of all, really happy for our friends to watch that game and see a win. That's a great stadium to do that in. That game was pretty close until two untimely picks thrown by Purdy. They were pretty bad. I don't know what to say about them. That defense does not seem to get... Burrow looked magnificent in this game. He, like... doesn't seem to have any kind of hitch in his step. Bro's hitting the passes, hitting those, just carving up, and then
what a bye week does for you.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how that happens. I know there's a whole talk about the defensive coordinator needing to be on the sidelines to communicate with his players, and I feel like that's really important. Like calling your plays in the booth and stuff, you don't really talk with them. It feels like a voice from God's talking at you. They need to get things corrected. They got Chase Young, which is tripling down the whole defensive like narrative of what their team is doing. They need to fix something. I feel like no Trent Williams, no Debo. That's also like really, really bad for the team right now. But I don't know what could be fixed. I think just need to have this bye week.
One thing with, Purdy just hasn't looked like, it hasn't been so easy for him lately. And part of that is like, have they seen enough of him now where they know the tendencies to be in the right place, like these interceptions he's throwing the last few weeks? Maybe he's like just coming down to earth and people see what they can do and they're making the adjustments. And
I want to touch on what Andrew was saying about defensive coordinators staying in the booth. Dan Quinn stays in the booth the entire time for the Dallas Cowboys. They have the number one ranked defense still in the NFL. So I think there's an aspect of being a defense coordinator and sitting up there and actually seeing the plays from like that bird's eye view and kind of seeing what's coming out there. So I can't really say that. Based off of where he's at or where he's in. Maybe he's not a guy that's a sideline guy. Second, to touch on Fernando's point, what I've talked about before was Brock Purdy being a system quarterback, right? If you run the same system over and over and over again, my thought was that Brock Purdy would eventually become like a standout quarterback because like he'd be in the system, eventually be able to like grow into the said system and then do what Tom Brady did. Tom Brady was a system quarterback. We cannot even debate that question right now. The fact is that he had really good coaching. And they put him in the best position where he grew and he grew and he grew. Almost every single quarterback goes through a sophomore slump. Okay? If Brock Purdy's going through a sophomore slump and he's still 5-3, there's no reason to bitch about it by this point.
No.
Let Brock Purdy continue to grow. He might lose the following week against the Jaguars. They have a solid defense. He might win against the Jaguars. If he comes out and throws three touchdowns, then this argument is null and void. But if he comes out and throws another like two interceptions against the Jaguars defense, now that's a conversation to start having. You're still not going to pull him. You're still going to use him. That's your quarterback through the rest of the season. You guys already went all in.
Yeah. Well, didn't they get Mixon back? Wasn't Mixon hurt, so he was back for this game?
For the Bengals,
Yeah, so he was hurt, and then we got Mixon back for this game. So it helped, like, don't get me wrong, Burrow showed up for this game for sure.
Oh, Burrow looked great.
Yeah, but he had Mixon back in the, like, mix. So he was out there running the ball. He was looking really good. So Burrow had time in the pocket to be able to make the passes he needed. He wasn't hurt, so he was able to get the ball downfield to Chase. But I don't know. I think Purdy made a couple bad decisions.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened. I think Kittle still had his yards. He hit Ayuk had some really good passes. Mm-hmm. Like, he looked really good. I mean, Kittle still had like 150 yards, so he was still able to get the ball out there. I think what happened was Purdy got a little, he got pressured. He made a couple bad decisions, and that's what cost him the game.
He was also recovering from a concussion, cleared Saturday before the game as well. I, as a Niner fan, watching this game, I was like, shot for shot, Bengals score, Niners have to score. They kept matching. That one play, they were up by, Bengals up by seven. Purdy tried to hit Elijah Mitchell, and he got picked on a magnificent tip.
Oh, it was great. That was a great
interception. Yeah. Great, and I was like, uh-oh. And then in the next play on offense, threw another one. I was like,
now that one is his fault. And like now, he missed a lot.
Yeah, the second one was
But this is what I'll say. With the Bengals by that point, like I think with the Niners losing to the Bengals, it's not time to hit like the emergency button on it yet. The Bengals are a very good team. They started off bad, but I mean they're still one of my Super Bowl picks. I think for this year. The Bengals started off bad, but like they woke up. Turns out they're not the pumpkin that we thought they were.
I think this was the Bengals playing the way they should have been playing all season.
Yeah, and you know what?
Burrow's hurt at the start of the season, blah, blah, blah. All that happened. But this is the Bengals team.
But I'm saying, like, as a Niners fan, like, I'm not pushing the emergency button. I'm not jumping on the plane yet.
100%
because
not.
you played one of the better teams in the NFL, one of the top five teams in the NFL, in my opinion. Regardless of record, you still played a great team. You guys showed up. You didn't get blown out. I mean, the score shows a little bit something different because of the extra touchdown at the end of the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like, that's not what the game was.
Yeah, I think Purdy made a couple like bad decisions, and they didn't even establish a running game. I think that was another big point against San Francisco. Like, Christian McCaffrey was basically non-existent as far as the running game. So I think they made a couple bad decisions as far as like Purdy. He got a couple interceptions. They weren't quite running the ball, and I think the Bengals just showed who they are supposed to be, and they won this game.
And I want to, last game we're going to talk about, we're pretty much just talking about the Raiders cleaning house. Monday Night Football, Lions had their way. Raiders got a pick six to make it interesting there in the second half, but way too much Detroit. But yeah, we got the GM, the head coach, out the door, and defensive coordinator, and the quarterback getting benched.
$75 million quarterback getting benched.
Yeah. First year with the franchise,
so
benched.
Again, he almost didn't even pass the physical to begin this season, too.
Yeah. So I'll let you guys talk about this real fast, because I got a point I got to make, but go for it.
I mean, it's just the Raiders are going to be, like, they might not win another game this year. Yeah.
I just don't understand what's going on with the Raiders. Raiders are one of those teams that have the weapons.
Yeah.
They have the offensive weapons. They are there. And to start this year, like, I wasn't completely counting out Jimmy G. I wasn't going to be like, he's not the guy, he's not going to be able to do anything or anything like that. I thought they had the weapons where Jimmy G can make it happen. But just looking at it from last week perspective, where Davante Adams did absolutely nothing, and Jimmy G just couldn't hit this guy, I think he's not the guy. He's not the guy who should be leading this team with the weapons that they have currently.
I don't understand why he was signed to the Raiders, because his arm, his accuracy is only the intermediate, the short passes. Like, having Adams is like giving me like a Porsche. I wouldn't use it really well. And just, he can't hit.
You can drive 35 and 55 zone.
Ooh, yeah, that's how I drive.
I got a question. If Derek Carr would have stayed versus Jimmy G, mm-hmm. you think the Raiders would be showing up?
Mm-hmm.
Games would be close. Yeah,
they'd have more. It's why Adams went to the Raiders. Yeah, that's why you want to trade there. Yeah.
And he wanted. I'm shocked they didn't try. I don't know why you don't trade Davante Adams. You got like a top five receiver in the league.
We're gonna get like,
and you could get at least a. Could you get a second rounder for him?
You get a second rounder for him.
Maybe even like
probably a first rounder.
Could you get a
first? No, they want a first rounder. They're wanting to get anything.
That man is a working class, like a hands up, like dude in the NFL right now. Like, you can get a first rounder for him. You can get a second round at least for him.
At least.
May I make my take real fast on this game?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, fantastic. Jimmy G has never been the guy. He was Josh McDaniels' guy the entire time. Josh McDaniels pushed Derek Carr out of there. We saw Derek Carr's emotion coming out of there. Like, even like he was talking to like his kids on the field, and they're like, "Go Raiders!" He's like, "No, go Raiders anymore. We're no longer Raiders fans." Derek Carr was a Raider through and through. If he would have stayed on this team would have been... This team might have won this game, to be, in my opinion. This game, even with as many turnovers and as many like bad chances that the Raiders had, this game was like an 8 to 9 point game for most of the game. Like, the Raiders were always in this game, even when they weren't in the game. Like, when Jahmyr Gibbs had his big breakout run and everything like that, the Raiders were still in this game. And that's the most incredible thing about this. That just shows how bad the head coaching was, how bad, signing the talent, how bad everything like that was, how bad Jimmy G was. Listen, Jimmy G, you want to know why Jimmy G gets signed? The same reason Joe Flacco got signed for a long time. He's a prettier Joe Flacco by this point. He's a placeholder. He's a great backup. Now, don't get me wrong. As a Vikings fan right now, let me ask you this question. If Kirk Cousins went down and Jimmy G was your backup, would you feel okay with that?
No.
Not no. At all. You'd rather Josh Dobbs over Jimmy G.
Jaren Hall, the unproven rookie who's going to show what he can do.
But what I'm saying, though, is knowing that you had a guy in the system that's been there longer than Jaren Hall has been there. Having a guy like that to be your placeholder. Because, once again, you have a starting quarterback. You have a backup quarterback. Your backup quarterback is never supposed to be your guy.
However,
if Jimmy G is your backup guy, I feel okay with it. If Trevor Lawrence went down and Jimmy G was the guy, I'd take Jimmy G over C.J. Beathard every single day right now.
I might take him over, but Andrew's saying with the accuracy issues. It's like he's lesser of a Kirk Cousins. He's a more handsome Kirk Cousins, but he is a much lesser talent than that.
Once again.
So, but I know that's why you're the backup. However, I like how they have this rookie who can go out there and just, let's see what he's got.
Sure.
You never know.
For your position, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Let me ask Andrew. Andrew, if Brock Purdy goes down and Jimmy G is your backup, would you rather have him over whoever your backup is right now?
Nick Mullen.
Yeah, Sam Darnold.
Right now?
Yeah. I'm going to say yes for you.
Yes, because Kyle Shanahan loves that man. But I would personally be okay with Sam Darnold just to see what he can do.
Well,
I don't know what
that's all I'm saying.
I already know what I have with Jimmy G.
Once again, I'm not a Jimmy G fan. I'm just saying right now that the Raiders had a chance to stay in this game for most of the game. There's a question that I have about the Lions not being able to close out the game and just seal the door on that one. That's all I'm saying.
That's why they're not there yet, but they're getting there.
They're right there.
You didn't ask about Jimmy G over Andy Dalton, but yes, I would say Jimmy G over Andy Dalton.
I mean, I actually take Andy Dalton over Jimmy G.
I would not.
All right, I think we're going to take a quick break here, and then we're going to be back with our week 9 picks right after this.
Let's take a break and listen to some commercials.
Hey, Trav, your birthday's coming up November 18th. Where are you going?
I'm turning 40, man. That's going to be incredible. I'll tell you where I'm not going on November 18th. It's going to be Gilly's Bar at 2306 El Cajon Boulevard, San Diego, California, 92104. Just got bought over as the local dive bar. We spent many years there watching football. Memories sitting there on the patio, owning the patio, controlling the games, watching our games, doing our thing, singing karaoke, drinking cheap drinks, having a good time. New owners came in there, yuppies with tattoos up and down their arms, cocktail people, if you would. Want to produce a cocktail bar for old fashions less than $20. So if you want to go spend $19 at Gilly's Bar after November 14th, by all means, feel free to do that. But until then, people in San Diego, all two of our listeners, please go out to Gilly's Bar, support Fernando, support the staff who got fired, even though they said they weren't going to change anything there, even though they said they were going to keep Gilly's what it was. They got rid of karaoke, they got rid of Fernando, they got rid of the rest of the staff that's been there for multiple years by this point. I'm going to say it right now, fuck these yuppies. Go support Gilly's Bar while you still get it. After that, never show up again. But until then, Gilly's Bar.
We're back. Looking at our week 9 picks, we'll have some hot takes for you right after that. We're going to start off week 9 with Thursday Night Football. The Titans traveling to Pittsburgh, taking on the Steelers. Pittsburgh, 2.5-point favorites. Will Levis looked great last week. First NFL start, big arm, throwing it all over the field. I think that continues this week, and I think the Titans are going to leave Pittsburgh with a dub.
Yeah, I got the Titans in this game. I want to see this Will Levis roadshow continue
in Pittsburgh. It's going to be fun. I don't think anyone really knows what to expect from the Titans, so give me the Titans to win and cover.
I'm digging Tennessee as well. I'm still waiting on that Derrick Henry game, so it's going to come. I don't think Pittsburgh is going to be able to compete this week, so I'm going to say Tennessee wins this.
I got a dollar bet that says your Derrick Henry game doesn't come this week. But, I mean, good for you guys. I haven't picked the Titans right except for once this season. Give me the Steelers to win this game. I think Will Levis comes back down to earth real quick.
Next up from Frankfurt, Germany, we have the early game. The Dolphins, technically at Chiefs. It's a home game for the Chiefs. Chiefs are going to be 1.5-point favorites in this game as of Wednesday. I'm going to go with the Dolphins in this one. The Chiefs, I mean, even with their wins, they're not winning pretty. Like, they're not blowing anyone out. Like, the Dolphins, I think, can go and just light them up. I don't think the Chiefs' offense can keep up with the Dolphins' offense. I think it's that simple. Like, Travis Kelce, you just got to blanket him, and boom, you get rid of all the weapons of the Chiefs. Give me the Dolphins.
I feel like this game definitely has that neutral site feel, but I'm thinking back to when the Dolphins played the Bills, and the Dolphins couldn't keep up with the Bills, and I feel like this might be one of those games. And I love the Dolphins, but I feel like I'm picking with my gut right here, and I think I'd like the Chiefs to win and cover this game.
Yeah, I'm taking Miami this game as well. I'm a little concerned that both teams might be a little jet lag, which means low scoring. But I think Miami's going to have the better weapons to make a show of this game. So I say Miami wins this game, and Kansas City is probably down by at least, I'm going to go a touchdown.
You know, I got to cheer for Miami this game because it'll put the Jaguars at least second in the running right now for the AFC. But I think that the Dolphins have this game. I really do. The Chiefs' offense just hasn't been clicking very much. The Dolphins' offense will score well. So give me the Dolphins in this game.
Quick side note, this is the first time in 12 years the top four teams in the NFL and the AFC are all tied. Four teams tied at 6-2 this deep in the season. First time in 12 years with the Dolphins, Chiefs, Jaguars, and... somebody else. I don't
Chiefs,
know who it is.
Jaguars, and the Ravens.
Ravens, there it is. All right, we got our 10 a.m. games Pacific time. The Vikings going to Hotlanta. I'm going to be at this game. Taking off on Friday. Both teams 4-4. Both teams going with a backup quarterback this week. Atlanta is 4.5-point favorites. I feel like this is going to be a very low-scoring game. Both defenses are playing decent. Again, backup quarterbacks going out there. I mean, Heinicke is probably the better option over Ritter for the way he's been playing. But we're going to see what Jaren Hall is all about. Funny fact, first time Teddy Bridgewater got his NFL start was against the Falcons, and the Vikings put up 35 points. Maybe Jaren Hall will do the same thing. Probably not. But I will take the Falcons to win this game. But I think it's going to be by a field goal, so I'm going to say Vikings cover, Falcons win, skull baby.
Skull loss.
Hey, I skull them win or lose.
I am gonna stick with my kind of feeling with all this. Like, the Falcons love to win at home, and they have Taylor Heinicke playing, and he has some. He's spry. He can throw the ball. I feel like the Falcons will win this game against the Vikings, who are in transition right now. But I feel like Taylor Heinicke will do better.
Yeah, I got Atlanta winning this game and covering. I think if we see Bijan show up again, it's going to be a different game. So they're going to be able to put up the points for sure. So I think Atlanta has this game. But maybe Miami will do something, Minnesota will do something, but I say Atlanta wins this game and covers.
Fernando, what's the record for the Vikings this year while you've been at games?
Well, I'm at their games?
Yeah.
1-1.
1-1. So let's call it
2-1. I was 4-0 last year. Just throwing that out.
Let's call it 2-1 this year. The Vikings are definitely going to take this game. I like Taylor Heinicke, ODU grad. Let's go for it. Butch, if you're listening, because Sarah's dad said he's going to listen.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Butch.
Hello. But Outside of that, I think the Vikings offense is kind of idiot-proof right now. I think their defense is kind of on cruise control. I think that the Vikings actually have like a legitimate shot to win a few games until Dobby Dimes gets in there and JJ gets back.
Yeah.
Dobby Dimes are coming.
Skull
Dobby Dimes is coming.
All right, up next, Dobby Dimes' former team, the Cardinals, traveling to Cleveland, taking on the Browns. I don't know why. I got a funny feeling about this game. I feel like it's going to be a sloppy game. I feel like it's got two backup quarterbacks. Once again, back-to-back games, backup. Cardinals, 8-point underdogs in this game. I am going to go with Cleveland to win this game, but I think it's going to be closer than people think. What's the guy's name? Clayton Toon, starting for the Cardinals against the guy the Browns have been throwing out there.
P.J. Walker.
Thank you. Jimmy G, the bench boy. I'm going to take the Browns to win, but I'm going to say the Cardinals keep it close. They're going to cover the 8. I don't know why, but that's just how I'm feeling.
Yeah, I keep feeling. Remember, keep reminding myself the Browns have great defense. Offense is
not good.
Yeah, so I like the Browns to win this game. They're playing Clayton Toon and those Cardinals. But yeah, I feel like the Cleveland's offense is going to just do enough to win. That 8-point spread is large.
I think Dobby Dimes was the only reason Arizona defense was even in most games. He was actually able to make stuff happen. Not very often, but he was able to make stuff happen, get outside the pocket with him gone. I just don't see their offense showing up for this game against Cleveland's defense. So I'm saying Cleveland wins it and covers pretty easily.
Give me the Browns to win and not cover this game. There's a part of me that like feels like Kyler Murray like might start, but like I know he's like listed as doubtful right now. May I put it on the record? If Kyler Murray starts this game, I'm going to pick the Cardinals to win this game.
He's not.
So you just go with the Browns.
So I'm going with the Browns to win, but I'm going with the Cardinals to cover.
There you go.
All right.
But if Kyler Murray covers,
he'll play next week, probably.
We'll all right, we got Rams at Packers.
If there's a miracle.
There's a miracle.
All I need is a miracle.
Little baby Jesus shows up and blesses him.
Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
All right, Rams at Packers. Two 5-loss teams. Packers, 3-point favorites in this game. This game's kind of ugly. I think it's going to be a very terrible game to watch if you're going to watch this game. I'm going to take the Rams to win this game. Jordan Love looks very uncomfortable passing the ball. Overthrowing, underthrowing. He is not having a good year thus far. I think just with Stafford versus Love, I'm going to take Stafford and the Rams. I think it's going to be a sloppy game. But, yeah, give me the Rams on the road. Upset win.
Yeah, I don't know if Stafford will play. He didn't practice today, Wednesday. It's doing day to day. That injury was gnarly. But I don't like the Packers either. They are not clicking at all like they once did. So I will pick the Rams to win this game outright.
Was it the thumb? Was that the
thumb? Yeah, that got caught thumb in the face guard of like throwing.
Right. To be honest, I don't think it matters if Stafford shows up or not. Even if he's out. I think Green Bay is on a slide right now, and I think they're going to continue to go down at this point. I think Love has did everything he could do at the beginning of the season, and I think his real like true colors are starting to show. So I got the Rams winning this outright.
Shining through. I see your true colors, and that's why I don't love you, because the Rams going to win. With a 3-point spread, your true colors.
All right.
All right.
So that means we all pick the Rams.
Rams.
So all right. Coming up next, the Commies going to New England playing the Patriots. Patriots 3.5-point favorites in this. I don't know. I'm going to take the Commies to win this game. I know they just traded a couple of their defensive players. Sam Howell is out there slinging it. I think he's going to sling it around they're not going to sling it. It's going to be low scoring, sloppy. It's like all these games just are sloppy. That's all everyone's like, ugh, this game, ugh. But give me the commies. I don't know. They're going to be... It's like shit and shit. Give me the commies.
That's I'm looking at the commies offense with Howell, and I see the Patriots offense with Mac Jones and whoever's left on that team. And I just think the commies have a better offense. And that's why I'm picking the commies to win this game.
I'm going to go with New England on this game. Again, I think the trade is going to hurt their defense a little bit. Especially like their morale is going to drop a little bit. It's going to affect them some. So their defense is not going to be the same. Maybe they'll be able to pick it up. Maybe they won't. But I got New England winning this game for sure.
Do they cover the 3.5 points?
They got 3.5. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know why you guys are picking the commies in this game. I think this is actually going to be a big Rhamondre Stevenson game. I think by losing your defensive front, I think that it might turn into Rhamondre Stevenson like actually having a really good game in this one. Matt Jones is not above throwing for like 40 to 50 yards, 40 to 50 times a game.
No,
40 to 50 yards right. is about right what he throws for.
I mean, you know, he's got 1,600 yards on the season right now, so it's not too terrible. But, you know, I don't see Matt Jones and the Patriots losing this game, especially at home. Give me the Patriots to win and cover this game.
All right, Bears at Saints coming up next. This is the largest spread of the week, 8.5 points favored for the Saints. I think this might be like a lock of the week. I think the Saints are just going to steamroll past the Bears. The Bears just they're real bad, real bad. I think the Saints are going to shut down that offense and they're going to put up points with their offense against that Bears D. Give me the Saints in a blowout.
Yeah, I agree with you. Saints are going to win this game handily. Unless you're Chris Collins were topping up Tyson Badgett last week, thinking he was like the next Joe Montana. I don't think this is going to be close. Give me the Saints to win and cover.
Saints win and cover.
I'm actually changing my mind to covering on this one. It's just the Saints at home. It's going to be too much to feast on. So, yeah, Saints win and cover this game.
Easy. All right, we got this is a good game. Two first place teams, Seahawks at Ravens. Baltimore with a 6-point spread advantage. I think they're going to cover that spread. And if it wasn't in Seattle, I might consider picking the Seahawks. But the Ravens, they got it going right now. Everything's working out for them. Lamar's looking good. I can't see the Seahawks winning this game at all. So give me the Ravens at home. They'll cover that 6-point spread.
I see this game as really being pretty close. I like the Ravens more than the Seahawks in this game. I think the Ravens are clicking really well. But this 6-point spread is way too large for me to think that the Seahawks might not make this. The Seahawks will make this close. So Ravens win, Seahawks cover.
I think Baltimore is on a bit of a high right now. I think they've been putting up a lot of yards and a lot of points against some decent teams. I really feel like Seahawks are going to make like a late season run and be able to like be up there for sure. So I'm going to say Seahawks win this game outright.
Yeah, I think the Ravens, I'm not buying into them yet. The passing game hasn't looked great. I think the Seahawks are just a better, well-rounded team. Give me the Seahawks to win this game.
Seahawks. All right. Buccaneers at Texans, our final morning game. Houston, 3-point favorites in this one. Coming off of a tough loss last week to the Carolina Panthers. The Bucs have been reeling. I think they've lost 3 in a row. I'm going to take the home team in this. I think the Texans bounce back with a home victory, and they have no problem covering that 3-point spread. So give me the Texans. They'll get it done.
This honestly is like a coin flip. I like the Texans more than the Bucks. That's why I picked them to win and cover. But I can see Stroud recovering this game and maybe playing a little better enough to just eke out that 3-point win. But yeah, give me the Texans to win and cover.
I think Tampa Bay is a better team than Carolina. Carolina beat them last week. I say Tampa Bay beats them this week. Like, yeah, Tampa Bay is going to win this game.
Yeah, I'm with Chris. I mean, there's not a lot to say about that one. I think the Bucs are going to win this game.
It'll definitely be a close one. Getting to those afternoon games, the Colts at the Panthers. Panthers on a 1-game winning streak. Colts have lost a few here and there. Indy, 2.5-point favorites on the road. I picked him last week, and I'm going to pick him again this week. Keep pounding, baby. Keep the Carolina pounding. Panthers are going to win their second game of the year and extend that one-game winning streak. They got this.
I like the Colts. I like Minshew in this game. There's also another coin flip game, but I feel like Minshew's better in this game. And he has enough weapons to string together some stuff. Maybe Jonathan Taylor will score a couple touchdowns this game. But give me the Colts.
Dollar bet says he doesn't.
No.
Fair enough.
I think Carolina clicked last week. I don't think they looked great. I think they came out and they looked the best that they could for the team that they have. So I think that's going to continue on for this week, and I think it's a pretty good matchup against Indy. And I say Carolina wins this game.
No.
That's it?
Just no. I mean, give me Minshew magic on this one. He has not looked terrible as a starting quarterback for the Colts this week. Brandon, you said they're on a one-game win streak. That's not a streak. It's not even a streak yet until they get at least two.
Hey, you calm down.
Is that a streak?
You calm down.
Is that a streak?
You calm down.
It's a one-game streak.
You got more of a streak in your underwear right now.
Losing streak.
You have more of a streak in your underwear right now than they have winning their games. I'll tell you that right now.
That actually might be true. I can't argue with them on that one.
Listen, the Colts are going to win this game. The Panthers will win another game this season. It's just not going to be this week.
This week, baby.
It's this week, baby. We got this. Keep pounding.
Keep pounding.
Up next, we got this game. Giants at Raiders.
Man, what a game.
2-point.
Game of the week.
Vegas favored by 2 points. They just fired everybody. Benched Jimmy G. We've already talked about that. Danny Dimes might be back for this game, allegedly. We don't know if that's... We'll see. Probably won't find out till like Saturday or Sunday. But either way, I'm going to take the Giants to go into Vegas and take down the Raiders. I think that defense is going to just shut down whoever the hell is starting a quarterback for the Raiders. So yeah, G-Men with the dub. Third win of the year.
So reading this report, the Giants actually cleared Danny Dimes before the game this week, but it was too close to actually have him play. And he did practice today on Wednesday. I like the Giants in this game. There's a lot of unknown with the Raiders. I don't know if they're going to pull together for former Giant Antonio Pierce as their coach. But give me the Giants to win this game.
I think the Raiders have the weapons. I just think they're in full panic mode right now. There's a lot of panic going on the offense here. They don't know exactly what's going on or which way they're going to go with it. So I think they're in a little bit of a panic mode. And I say Giants win this. I think they're going to show up, especially if Danny Dimes is throwing the ball. I got Giants winning this over the Raiders.
I think the thing that we're overlooking right now is the Giants' defense has 10 sacks over the last two games. I think the defense is starting to turn it on. It's kind of what helped them last season with helping Danny Dimes in this offense. The Raiders are in disarray. Just because you get rid of Jimmy G does not mean that Aiden McConnell is going to be able to do it. I think the Giants' defense is going to put enough pressure in this game. Give me the Giants to win this game.
Boom. Cowboys at Eagles. Final afternoon game. This will be a good one. Eagles 3-point favorites in this one. I think the Eagles are going to win and cover this. But again, the division games, these are always great games to watch. It should be a very entertaining game. But the Eagles are just, they're getting it done. And I like how they did the fake tush push and did a sweep on the outside because everyone was coming down.
Well, I think I actually stopped on a tush push also earlier in that game as well.
I saw that. They finally got stopped on it. Yeah, give me the Eagles. They're just, they got offense. I don't trust Dak Prescott ever. I can't. He's like inconsistent. Eagles will win this game and cover those 3 points.
Yeah, it's the reason why I picked the Eagles in this game. 3 weeks ago, the Niners destroyed the Cowboys. That team still exists somewhere in there. And the Eagles are playing them, rivalry game, but I feel like the Eagles are going to be able to handle that 3-point win, the 3-point spread. Give me the Eagles to win and cover.
You know, I think Dallas's defense has kind of been hot and cold this season. And I think when they've showed up, they've actually shut out games, right? They've been able to stop everything on the offense. And I think this is one of the games where Dallas's defense is going to show up. And they're going to be able to contain Hurts,
not let him get outside of the pocket, not let him rush like he normally does, and be able to stop some of the passes he has. And then Dak's going to show up. He's going to be able to like hit a couple passes, maybe get a couple touchdowns to CeeDee Lamb there. So I'm going to say Dallas wins this game over Philly.
I'm with you on this one, Chris. I think Dallas' defense is very solid. They had a couple games where they didn't show up, but that's still the number one defense in the NFL right now. I think that this is, I mean, beyond whatever the Cowboys 49ers game was, like this is Dallas' Super Bowl going into Philly and beating Philly. I think the Cowboys do just that. I think they show up in Philly. I think they shut down that offense. And the Cowboys win this game.
Sunday night football, the Bills going to Cincinnati taking on the Bengals. Bengals 2-point favorites in this game. Bengals have been hot. Like we talked about it about last week's game. Like the offense is clicking. Burrow looks great. Josh Allen has been just is like it's his thing. He's sloppy with the ball. Turnovers happen. I think this is gonna be a really good, like high scoring game. But I am going to take the home team. The Cincinnati Bengals are going to come out with another win and put some pressure on those Ravens on top of the division.
Yeah, this game is going to be amazing to watch. The Bengals are rolling right now. They're clicking. The Bills are struggling to find someone else besides Diggs to get their passes. Right now it's just Diggs and Kincaid right now. And I feel that's enough for the Bengals to win this game. I'm right in cover.
Yeah, I think this game is a bit of a coin flip. I like Cincinnati's offense from last week, but I'm going to say Buffalo shows up this week and be able to take them out.
I'm going to go Bengals on this one. I don't think it's actually going to be that close. I think it's going to be two scores by this point.
Oh, wow.
I think the Bengals are heated. They have a hit list on the AFC of like the teams they have to beat to be able to like be the team. I still believe that this is the Bengals' year to do it, and I think it starts right here.
All right, and then final game of the week, Monday Night Football. We got the Chargers at the Jets.
Gross.
Ugh. Chargers are 3.5-point favorites. Chargers are just, they need a new coach so bad. But I'm going to say they win this game, but I'm going to say the Jets cover 3.5. I'm going to say it's a field goal. Chargers are going to play down to the competition. Jets defense will slow down that offense. Zach Wilson will do enough to keep them in the game. But in the end, the Chargers will leave New York with a victory.
You know, I'm going to change my pick from earlier when we decided these. Give me the Jets to win this game. I just don't trust. Because the Chargers were supposed to be like really bad and like maybe play down to the Bears last week. And they did well, but it saved Staley another week. I just feel like this Charger team, with that defense going against, there might be enough offense for the Jets to win.
I just don't see it. I do know the Chargers tend to play down, but sometimes even when they play down, they end up with the win. I don't think the Jets offense is going to be able to compete with the Chargers defense to have a chance in this game. Like I don't see it. I think Chargers have the weapons. If they're clicking, I think this is going to be a blowout. If they're not clicking, I still feel they're going to win this game. So I'm going to say Chargers 3.5, easy.
It's really hard to concentrate right now because I can just smell the hot sauce coming off like my full spoon of the cusp pepper hot sauce coming up next. I'd like to delay as much as I can, but yeah, it be what it be. The Jets aren't good. They're not good. They combined for 24 punts last week. The Chargers are not as bad as what people think they are. There's a lot of questions on Justin Herbert right now. You got Stephen A. Smith out there. Everybody else questioning him after the contract signing. Justin Herbert is still him. The coaching is terrible. I still think that they're trying to adjust the offense coordinator and like his new system. But the Chargers aren't that bad, and they're definitely not going to lose the Jets. I don't care if they're across the country, which the Chargers have a terrible record of doing so. But they're not going to lose the Jets, man. Give me the Chargers all day in this game.
Fair enough. All right, those are our picks for the week. We got some hot takes. Chris, can you hand me that bottle that we just poured?
Sure.
Just want to look at this. So this week we got Mikey V's Sweet Ghost Pepper Sweet Hot Sauce. It smells good. So we are going to go ahead and consume. Cheers, everybody. Hot sauce intake.
Sorry.
Oh, Andrew, you didn't take.
Did you want to pour a little in there?
Woo!
All right.
All right, my hot take this week, that Vikings-Falcons game, neither team will go past 20 points. The winner will have 17 to 19 points, and that'll be enough to win in this game. I think it's going to be low scoring. That's my hot take for this week.
My hot take is I think Danny Dimes will contribute to 3 touchdowns, either passing or running it in himself, if he plays, probably plays.
My hot take is, well, last week I went with Bryce Young getting over 300 yards. It was close, but not quite there. I'm sticking with Carolina this week. I say this would be Thielen's first game with 2 TDs.
I'm between 1 and 2, man. My first one is I think Minshew has 3 touchdowns this week. That's my first hot take. My second one, just as a bonus hot take, is going to be the Chiefs and Dolphins will be the highest scoring game this week.
Dollar bet it is not.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I'm going to go dollar bet it is not.
Okay, that's good.
All right, and that is going to do it for this week's episode of Double Doinks and Sackles.
Teaching you how to football.
Thanks for joining us, you guys. We'll be back. Well, some of us will be back next week. But signing off, my name is Fernando.
I'm Travis.
And I'm Chris.
And I'm still Jimmy G, the benched boy.
Probably for the rest of the year.
He's never going to play again this year.
Or ever.
Or maybe it's when he gets hurt. Anyway.
And listen, once again, go out to Gillies, support your local staff, support Fernando, support everybody else. Consortium Holdings, you know, you have a special place in my heart that's very deep and dark. But enjoy your week. Enjoy football. Jags can't lose this week.
And we'll see you next week.
The Niners.
Skull.